Among the activists and organizers trying to get people out to vote this fall are some who cannot vote themselves. NPR's Barbara Sprunt spoke to one such woman, an immigrant who's been a part of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program.
These days, Miriam Robles is spending a lot of time on the phone.
Hi, this is Miriam with Mi Familia Vota.
Hi, my name is Miriam with Mi Familia Vota.
It's really important that we get everyone registered to vote as soon as possible.
I see here that you're not currently registered to vote.
She's working to register new voters as part of her job with Mi Familia Vota, a Latino political advocacy group that opposes President Trump. One of those voters is her 18-year-old brother, Kevin.
I was super excited to get him registered, and I helped him fill out his primary ballot and made sure that he applied for the permanent early voting list.
Their father came to the U.S. from Mexico through a temporary work program in the 90s. Robles and her mother joined him in Phoenix when she was 3 years old under a visitor's visa. They all stayed. And although her brother and sister were born in the U.S. and are protected as citizens, Robles remained undocumented and applied for DACA in high school. But even then, she remembers the fear that her parents weren't safe.
Even today, I'm a 24-year-old, but I still have plans. Like, if something were to happen, I would know exactly how I would make sure my siblings were safe and things like that.
Only recently has she felt comfortable sharing her family's story.
I grew up in a majority white neighborhood, so for me, it was even hard to talk about my status. Like, I have friends who I've known, 10, 15 years, and I'm just now letting them know what my situation is because you're obviously scared. I've had friends who have had their parents deported because someone called ICE on them.
Of particular concern to Robles is the path towards protected status for her parents and the DACA program itself. Shortly after taking office, President Trump attempted to dismantle DACA. The Supreme Court recently sided with recipients in protecting the program, but the administration is still trying to scale it back. They've reduced the renewal period for current recipients from 2 years to 1 year, which doubles applicants' fees, and have stopped processing new applications. She feels compelled to speak up now, in a year that has brought a national reckoning on racial injustice.
If, I can see Black activists going out there and getting arrested and getting beaten, then why would I not want to do the bare minimum and share my story,
Robles often faces a common refrain when she asks people about the election, that they have no plans to vote.
They're like, well, it's very marginal. And so for me, what's been really important is to just come from a place of vulnerability and say some of us actually live in those margins and some of us our lives are decided by those margins.
Robles also says it can feel disheartening to push so hard for people to vote, knowing it's not possible for her.
I definitely get a little sad, but it also gives me hope. Like, I think a lot of people have these like fantasies of like what their future is like. So like a lot of little girls always imagine, oh, my wedding day. For me, that's always been like, oh, the day that I become a citizen and get to vote.
Cristina Jimenez is the co-founder of United We Dream Action, an immigrant youth-led organization. She says people like Robles are the most effective messengers for political participation.
When you hear from people whose lives have been impacted by policy and by how we vote, that really builds the consciousness of people around us that our vote matters a lot.
They're also trying to organize as President Trump runs for re-election, 4 years after building a base of support among mostly white, native-born voters, with an anti-immigrant platform that he's built on while in office. The reality of that record may help organizers like Robles make voters who oppose Trump's policies more motivated to turn out than in 2016. Robles recalls a conversation with a man who was white who told her he wasn't planning to vote because it wasn't worth it.
There's a certain subset of Americans who definitely treat politics as a spectator sport as opposed to, how I see it as a means of survival. I did bring up, like, it's really easy to make these judgment calls when your life and your well-being isn't the one at stake. At that point, I don't know if I changed his mind, but he definitely left with that to think about.
Robles says she'll keep having those conversations right up to Election Day. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News.